Like past years, our first Democrat of the day heads the DFL here in the state of Minnesota. Ken Martin is kind enough to join us to talk about the upcoming 2022 election cycle. Hey, Ken, how are you?
I'm doing great, Matt. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, my friend. We haven't chatted in a few months. It's nice to hear your voice once again. I got to start off with something, though, that was carried over from last year. I've got to imagine the DFL's got some plans here. Your former counterpart on the Minnesota GOP, Jennifer Carnahan, well, let's just say her tenure ended fairly spectacularly. And there's obviously a lot of questions about what the heck was going on within the Minnesota GOP. They even gave her a farewell bonus at the end as they headed out. I imagine, you know, just as the Minnesota GOP has a tendency of you know, railing against anything, any perceived slight they pick up from the DFL. I'm guessing the DFL's got some plans for as far as messaging in regards to the nightmare implosion that was the Minnesota GOP in 2021.
Well, let me just start by saying I'm sure when I leave, I won't be getting a huge bonus or a severance package. I'm sure I'll get a big kick in the rear and don't let the door hit you on the way out. but let me say this. Look, that's in the past. I mean, we're obviously focused right now with just around 300 days left until this election. We're really focused on November 8th, and, you know, it doesn't do us a lot of good to focus on what happened over the last few years under Chairwoman Carnahan. They have a new chair now, but I will say the new chair is really no different than the old chair in some ways, perpetuating a lot of the same conspiracy theory and misinformation. I was at a recent debate with David Hand, the new chairman of the Republican Party, and just last week. And of course, not unlike Jennifer Carnahan, he continues to peddle in COVID conspiracy as well as the big lie. So again, in some ways, while it may be a new chair, it's a lot of the same old garbage from the Republican Party, both in this state and around the country.
Let's focus on that. I mean, there's obviously, you want low-hanging fruit as far as being able to go after Republicans. We'll just start with their lunacy with the anti-vaccination. Most of them have video on their own social media sites, which is almost ready for a DFL ad to point out the fact that this is in a fringe mentality. And I know a lot of them, when they get to the general election, are going to say, where did you ever get the idea I was against vaccines? Because the vast majority of Minnesotans are vaccinated, believe in vaccines, believe in common sense healthcare. Talk a little bit about that, because I mean, it's sometimes I think we kind of overanalyze things and we look for a more complicated issue. They're literally putting the ball in the tee for the DFL in regards to vaccines.
Well, again, that's absolutely right. All of their leading candidates for governor have, participated in spreading misinformation about COVID-19. Some of them still claim that it's a hoax. All of them do not support mask mandates in any way, shape, or form, or vaccines. And generally, you have two doctors who are completely ignoring science and fact here, in Dr. Scott Jensen and Dr. Shaw. All of their leading candidates have gone on the record spreading some sort of misinformation and conspiracy around COVID. And that tells you everything you need to know about the state of the Republican Party, where you have leading candidates for governor, basically, who are trading in some of the worst conspiracy that exists out there right now. You know, you need responsible leaders who are actually going to listen to their advisors, to science and facts, and take public health officials at their word and plan for, you know, cases like this. And, you know, thank God we have Governor Walz in there and President Biden at the top in our country, people who are actually going to, listen to folks and do the responsible thing. You know, God help us if one of these jokers on the Republican side gets elected to office, because, you know, again, they're not listening to the folks they should be. They're trading in some of the worst conspiracy we know, and we deserve better than that.
You know, back in 2018, the Democrats in the DFL had a pretty good successful run pointing out the fact that we are the party of health care. We want more expansive health care, more options for people, less expensive. We don't want people necessarily in debt. And there was a discussion on how that's going to happen, but pretty much every Democrat was for better health care. Things kind of, to a point, I know that there was part of the message in 2020, but I think the pandemic kind of overwhelmed it. I mean, as they're out there trying to scream about ivermectin and bleach injections, the reality is they, once again, they have on a base issue on health care, they have left the door wide open to control that message all the way through the 2022 election cycle.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And let me just say it this way. Look, under Donald Trump and the Republicans, they did nothing to really lead us out of COVID in any way, shape, or form. They did not take the pandemic seriously. When they started to it, in many ways, it was already too late. And President Biden and Democrats come into office. I mean, think about this. In 1 year, the president set up a historic vaccination program that has resulted in more than 200 million Americans that are fully vaccinated this year. Almost 75% of all adults now are vaccinated, thanks to President Biden and Democrats who actually science and fact and have taken this pandemic seriously from day one in office. That's the difference between Democrats and Republicans. We listen to science, we believe the facts, and we're going to lead responsibly to keep people safe and make sure that our economy doesn't tank. And, you know, those are the things I think at the end of the day that differentiate our parties here. In this modern time right now, the Republicans would rather throw red meat to Trumpers and these anti-vaxxer conspiracy theorists than actually lead and do what's right by people.
Well, and let's bring up then the big lie. And as much as this is lunacy on the right, the reality is they just had a debate between the leading GOP candidates for Minnesota governor and asked them all point blank who won in 2020. And they none of them could really just say, oh, well, Joe Biden won. I mean, I think the best they got about to was, well, Joe Biden was declared the winner. And that's all they can say, because the people that choose the GOP candidate are that lunatic QAnon fringe. They don't want to upset them. But the reality is the fact that they still, that no one in the Republican Party, without being ostracized from the party, can come on out and just say, wow, Joe Biden got more votes and won the election.
And, you know, it's not a partisan issue. It shouldn't be a partisan issue, to be honest with you, Matt. You know, our democracy deserves both parties speaking very loudly on this. Of course, one is the Democratic Party nationally, and here in Minnesota, the DFL, who's standing up not only for voting rights, but making sure that, you know, we understand that when you participate in essentially eroding people's confidence in elections, as the Republicans continue to do, despite, by the way, no proof of massive voter fraud.
Exactly.
40-plus cases that were decided against Republicans around the country. The fraud in Arizona, which actually ended up showing that Joe Biden won the state even more decisively. Despite repeated attempts by the Republicans to try to create this narrative that somehow the election in 2020 was stolen, there's no proof that would suggest that that's the case. And I would welcome them continuing to go down this road, because each time they do this, it just continues to show that that not only do they not have the goods, they live on some sort of fantasy island here, believing what they want to believe. Well, most Americans and most Minnesotans certainly believe that this election was legitimate. Now, look, I think there's a danger to democracy, and that's the piece that's really disheartening here. You know, we used to live in a society here in this country, in our Republican democracy, where the transfer of power and free and fair elections are paramount, and both parties supported our democracy. Now you have one party who engages in this willful misinformation campaign, trying to throw red meat to their base at the expense of the long-term expense of the health of our democracy, and I would even say the short-term demise of our democracy will be when people don't have confidence, because people have completely destroyed it, i.e. the Republican Party. So we need to do a better job. People in both parties, frankly, people who care about our democracy, people who care about giving people the right to vote, need to do a better job in standing up and defending our democracy, not through the lens of party, not through the lens of the Democratic Party or the Republican Party or others, but through the lens of people who care about our democracy and the fact that the democracy gives power to the people to make these decisions. No one wants to go backwards here, but the Republican Party certainly is doing everything they can to move us backwards in this country.
Ken Martin joining us, the head of the DFL here in the state of Minnesota. Ken, let's talk about the Republicans and their plan of attack. They definitely are going to go after crime. Now, obviously, and I'll be very blunt, I have been out in rural Minnesota. Their narrative is generally a fairly, it's got a definitely a racist slant to it. Talk about black people in the city. And that's kind of how they do talk about it a lot. But we have had some fairly, you know, visible carjackings and stuff going out there. And a lot of people, including myself, asking the question, how are kids who are on their fourth or fifth carjacking not getting, you know, tried in a little bit more of a serious manner? You know, the DFL can take a lot of wind out of the sails of the Republicans in regards to this by putting forward a crime bill. Is that something the DFL is currently working on over in St. Paul?
Well, absolutely. And Representative Cedric Frazier had a wonderful op-ed the other day talking about the bill that he's going to be introduce, which is a balanced approach to what we're seeing in our communities right now. And let's be honest about this. There has been a pretty sharp increase in crime, and we have to get our hands around it. And it's not an either-or approach. We do need to focus on criminal justice reform and on police reform and accountability. All those things matter. But they can't be at the expense of also being tough on crime. Look, you know, we believe, our party believes in second chances for sure. But, you know, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chances, you know, that I don't think there's any sort of tolerance for that in our community. And I will tell you that if you look at Representative Frazier's bill, which is both looking at ways we can address some of the systemic issues in our criminal justice system, while at the same time making sure that we're investing in law enforcement, in policing throughout our state, making sure they have the resources to have full police forces. Many communities, many municipalities right now are understaffed for a variety of reasons, not to mention funding. Two, we need to invest in more foot patrols, particularly in high crime areas, to make sure that we have deterrence on the ground there. Three, we need to make sure that we are investing in community crime prevention programs, which have proven time after time again, when you invest in those types of programs, they're making a difference in those communities. You know, we need to take crime seriously, and we can't just focus on the criminal justice reform side of it. Yes, some of it's systemic, but there is a piece of it that is the here and now, and we have to acknowledge as DFLers that we have a problem in this state that we all collectively, Democrats and Republicans, have to get our hands around. And let me say that piece, because it's easy for the Republicans to throw grenades here and say that this is the DFL's fault, completely untrue, obviously. But I would ask the Republicans, what ideas have they put forward in the last 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, or longer to actually address any of this in terms of public safety? They haven't. And you know, it's easy, again, to criticize. But what we found from the Republican Party is they really lack any ideas on how to deal with these critical issues facing our state and country right now. And when pressed, they just go back to their sort of racist dog whistles and the same BS that they're spreading. They lack any substantive policy prescription to address this. I would say look at the DFLers who are bringing real proposals forward to both get our hands around crime and also at the same time, reform a criminal justice system that needs reforming.
Well, and it also should be noted, and by the way, this is going to back up your point about the racist element of this. Meth is an epidemic in rural Minnesota. Drunken driving is an epidemic in rural Minnesota. When was the last time you heard any Republican talk about those two issues? And so if they were honestly going to care about crime, wouldn't they care about crime in their districts as opposed to just screaming about Minneapolis and North Minneapolis and black man with a gun? And that's what they scream. And that's because this is not about actually solving crime issues. It's basically about trying to rile up their base with racist rhetoric, something we've seen the Republican Party turn to over the last 6 years.
Well, that's exactly right. And I will say, Matt, crime's increasing everywhere. It's just a complete misnomer to suggest that it's only increased in Minneapolis or St. Paul. It's increased in the suburbs. It's increased in greater Minnesota, as you suggested. There's a lot of reasons for that. Some of it's pandemic-related. Others, are economic-related, socioeconomic. There's a lot of different reasons for this. But to suggest that this is only happening in Minneapolis and St. Paul is incorrect. It's not incorrect to say that we collectively need to get our hands around this, and we all need to take this more seriously. And I think that goes for Republicans as much as it goes for DFLers. You know, one of the things that they don't talk about is the fact that there's been a huge increase in violent crime. And one of the reasons there's been a huge increase in violent crime is because of the readily available guns that are on the streets right now that we see in record numbers. If we really want to get our hands around violent crimes, we also need to figure out how we keep guns off the streets of people who shouldn't have them, yet Republicans don't want to have that debate at all. And again, it shows you that they don't take these issues very seriously. This is all about appealing to their base and not having a real debate about how we actually solve for these issues that are facing the state right now.
Ken, two more quick questions for you. First of all, we just saw in Virginia, you had the governor, the new Republican governor over there, who, once again, what's the dog and pony show they do, the tap dancing they do? I'm really a moderate. I'm really going to work with the other side. First day in office, puts out a far right agenda, lets drops the facade, drops the myth, becomes the far right tool that he has always been, and basically says, I'm the governor now, what are you going to do about it? The reality is we need to keep hitting on that issue, is that the Republicans, as much, especially when they get to the general election, and they're going to be in there and they're going to be arguing about, oh, I'm not really believing that Trump won. I'm not really believing vaccines are bad. The reality is we need to keep reminding people that the minute they get into office, they can put on I'm a moderate, shine as much as possible. They are far right extremists and they're pushing an agenda, most of which does not come from the state of Minnesota, but from these conservative think tanks around the country.
Well, look, I said this in 2016 to people who were considering voting for Donald Trump, or from even Democrats who were considering not voting for Hillary Clinton, right? And then look at the situation we're now in after three Trump appointees to the court. One of the things one of the rights that we all have sort of taken for granted is about to be overturned with Roe v. Wade in this country. And so if we think that any right is perpetually guaranteed or that elections don't matter, you don't have to go back much further than the 2016 election to think about how every election has a consequence. There is a choice. There are two sides here. It's not as if those sides are even close on the issues. We're not. And maybe that's part of the problem in this country, is how polarized politics are. But there is a clear choice. When you support a Republican, you are risking the fact that they are going to come in and completely erode many of the rights that you and your neighbors and others take for granted. You know, they're going to come for reproductive rights. Next, they'll come for marriage equality. Then they'll go for environmental protections. They have already come after voting rights. And they'll certainly go after civil rights next and just down the list. Look, elections have consequences. I want to encourage everyone who listens to this show to remember that. There is a clear choice between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, and you don't have to look much further than what they're doing around this country right now.
Last thing here, it's obviously we're going to be talking with a lot of Democrats over the next few months. The reality, I do want to make sure I send people to the mothership, as I might say, DFL.org, because you guys have a lot. Obviously, not only do you list all the candidates that are running, you have, press information, have events that you have coming up here. There's a lot of great information people can go to get by just going over to the DFL website, right?
Well, absolutely. DFL.org. You can sign up to attend your precinct caucuses there. Sign up to get involved in our campaigns. Obviously, with redistricting coming up, there's going to be a lot of changes. There's a lot of uncertainty right now about what all these races will look like. But if you're interested in making a difference, rolling up your sleeves and getting on the doors and talking to voters over the phone, we've got opportunities for you. This is a critical election, probably one of the most critical we've seen in many years. And if you care about the future of Minnesota and our country, I'd really encourage you to visit that website, sign up to volunteer, help the DFL and our candidates win in November.
Ken Martin, the head of the DFL, Democrat of the Day for your Tuesday. Ken, an absolute privilege chatting with you. Thank you very much for the time. We will talk to you again, hopefully before too long.
Thanks, Matt. Take care.
Ken Martin, kind enough to spend some time with us. Let's spotlight that one for sure. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.